Chrome in your recents, the Android car, matching UI colors, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 188, Looks Everywhere. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the episode. Your host, as always, Headphones Neil here, back with a very exciting episode. We got a lot of interesting news this week at a Google I.O., so I'll start off with a few of the updates for this week, and then I'll jump right into all the news that happened. So, basically, updates, a quick break, and then all the news from Google I.O. It's pretty straightforward, so I won't be spending 2.5 hours covering it, but I'll do the usual overview of everything that is important. So with that, I'll jump right into the updates. To start, Search now supports searching for an artist and opening the music app. So let's say you open up Google Now and you search for whatever current artist you want to listen to. So let's say Linkin Park or Lorde or Adele or whoever, and you have music apps installed like Pandora or Spotify or Audio, you can now open that app of choice and get music from them based on those streaming services, so you don't even have to worry about, as long as it's installed, you'll be able to access music from that artist. CyanogenMod added an interesting feature this week called Heads Up Notification. So what this lets you do is when you get a notification like a text message, it'll overlay that message so you don't have to leave whatever app or home screen you're on. It'll automatically just pop it up and you can reply straight from there. This is a built-in feature of Android, so it is something that, or it's not something that you necessarily have to install specifically to get. It'll just be a part of the ROM. For those of you who have been following Everything Me Launcher, the contextual launcher that was in or that has been in limited beta, you can now get it available on any Android device. They have taken it out of limited beta, so basically it's another contextual launcher that is supposed to be smarter than most others. I'll probably give it a shot in the coming days, see how good or bad it is, but it seems like it's good enough to test regularly. For those of you who manage a page on Facebook, Facebook Pages Manager was updated to version 2 and now has a refreshed UI, so it has more of that Facebook home look and mixed with more of the iOS 8 look. So while I do like a lot of the performance enhancements, it doesn't really seem to follow the Android guidelines very well. It follows more of the iOS guidelines, which kind of bugs me, but at the moment, I'm letting it go, tentatively letting it go, just because it does work a lot more smoother, and a lot of the items seem to pop up from the bottom. So we'll see how it works over time. Maybe this is just an initial release to get it going, but it is kind of also odd to do a quick review that the menu bar is on the right instead of the left, like all other Holo UI items. But moving on, Google Plus Photos got an update this week to now allow editing edited photos. So let's say you make an edit and save it and you didn't keep your original image, you can now go back, revert your edited image to the original one, or make changes from there. So it's kind of like having a permanent undo button. BeyondPod was updated to version 4.0. It is a beta release, so if you use BeyondPod to get your podcast, you can now sign up for their beta to get a more Holo UI look, get bugs fixed, performance enhancements included, and all of that good stuff. So it does look pretty nifty. It does have a 7-day free trial, so if you're not sure if you might like it or not, you can always try it out before you purchase it. Google Search got a couple other updates as well. The first is that it's going to be getting an update to now have OK Google from any screen, so including your lock screen. So basically, if you, rather than having to be on your home screen or in Google for some devices to do OK to start a voice search, you'll now be able to, let's say, be in an app and say OK Google and do your search. That way, you can do that search, or even if your screen is off and in front of you, you can do a search that way. The other update is that it was going to now more easily show when search results will open an app or a website. So let's say you do a search that links to the Wikipedia article and you have the Wikipedia app installed. It'll show you that app is installed in the logo of the app, so you know it's going to open the app. And if you do not have the app installed, it'll show a green link to show that it's going to open a web browser. If you don't want to open the app, though, if you have an app, if you have the related app installed, you can still click on the link to open it in the browser. So it's up to you how you want to handle it still, but you have that option. YouTube Creator Studio was released this week to now allow you to view upload stats and respond to comments on the go. It is currently Android only with iOS coming soon. But basically, if you upload videos to YouTube and you want to be able to see how good or bad or like how many views it's getting, what the stats and analytics on it are, you can now do that on the go. And finally, the LG G Pad 8.3 Google Play Edition got updated to Android 4.4.4. So nothing major there, just the usual bug fixes and that sort of thing. It skipped the 4.4.3 update. So don't, if you're worried about that, you're not missing anything. It did skip from 4.4.2 to 4.4.4. But with that, I'll jump into a quick break and then jump into the Google I/O review. So let's say you're listening to this podcast, or you bought yourself a new LG G Pad, or you're listening to podcasts in Beyond Pod, and you want to get the best possible sound or best possible quality sound you can. That's where our friends over at Tweaked Audio come in. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so they have whatever suits your needs. So whether you have a white iPhone, black Kindle Fire phone, wooden Moto X, they have the colors that suit your need. And their headphones are noise reducing, so you hear more of what you're listening to and less of the outside world, which definitely helps me when I'm at the gym. Not so much when I'm at home, for example, because I don't hear my home phone ringing, but that's how good their headphones are. And they're also very durable, so you can wear them at the gym, at home, at work, wherever you go, so they'll last you everywhere you can. And they also come in microphone and non-microphone versions. So let's say you are driving and you want to do a Google search, for example, and you're using the OK Google hot word detection, the microphone version will come in handy because it'll pick it up that much better. So definitely check it out. They also offer free shipping, so it's not going to cost you anything extra to get them shipped to you. And when you use the promo code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, you'll get an extra 1/3 off your order, so definitely help support the show and support Tweaked Audio. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweaked and use a promo code GEEK at checkout to get your brand new headphones and save some money at the same time. We thank them for their support and we hope you show them your support as well. But with that, I'm going to jump right into Google I/O 2014, the Android L release. So I'll spoil it up front and say that we did not get the official name for Android or the next version of Android. All we got was that it is an L release, which is obvious after the current version that we are on. So we're on KitKat, so the next letter is L. So who knows what that'll be, whether it's lychee or lemon cakes or lemon heads, who knows, but we shall see. But among other things, or at least a general overview for what's coming with Android, is prioritize notifications. So basically you're gonna be able to get notifications in your lock screen by default, and you can swipe them away to basically hide them, and it'll if you have more notifications or they don't all fit on your screen, it'll update to show whatever notifications are left. So it's a pretty nifty new way of seeing what notifications are without having to unlock your device or do extra swiping. There's also a new feature in the phone dialer called phone call, or not called, but it's a phone call overlay. So when you're in a full screen app or game and you get a phone call, you'll get a toaster notification, kind of like when you're logged into Google Play Games, to let you know that you're getting a call. And if you want to answer it, you touch the notification to answer it. Or if you want to dismiss it because you're in the middle of something, then you can swipe it away and decline the call. There's also a new recent UI. So instead of the flat stack tabs that you get for your recent apps, it's going to be more of the preview pane. The first thing that comes to mind that it looks like to me. It's kind of like the 3D arrow switching in Windows 7. So when you switch in Windows 7 using the Windows key and the tab, it does this 3D preview. It's kind of like that here with a new version of Android, in that basically when you touch your recents, you'll see all the previews of the apps and you can slide switch between them. And this jumps me right into the next item, in that Chrome is going to be more deeply integrated. So when you have a website open and in Chrome, or you have multiple tabs open, for example, and you switch a Recents tab, Chrome tabs are now part of the Recents menu as if they were their own apps. So that way you, so basically acts kind of natively as its own app, rather than being stuck inside Chrome and having to open up Chrome again. So that way you can, if you have multiple tabs open, then you can switch between them as if they're native apps. And then there's also deeper, quicker integration with installed apps. I talked about this a little bit in the update section, where when you do a Google search, you'll now more easily see if you have that app installed. Well, Google is opening up the API to more developers, so if you have an app in Google Play and someone happens to have it installed and there's the Google search done for it, then they'll be able to open up that app directly. There's also corporate level security, which is now separated from personal apps. This is supported in apps for Android 4.0 and above, so that's Ice Cream Sandwich and newer. This is kind of like what Samsung is doing with their corporate and personal apps. So you can have your personal apps and corporate apps and data installed on the same device, but they're separated so they can never conflict, and security is of the highest measure. So this moves us into the actual, into more features of Android itself. So to start, there's material support. So now there's virtual elevation changes based on viewpoint. So this kind of takes what Amazon did with their Fire phone in the maps, and it brings it to the entire Android UI. So when you're using your phone and you're moving it around, it uses the sensors and gyroscope and all accelerometer and all of that to add more dynamic shadows, so they adjust based on the position of your phone. And it gives it that more dynamic, interactive 3D bump effect kind of thing, so it looks more lively and basically your screen more and device more eye-popping. And then the UI also will now get colorized based on your app and device size. So let's say you're in Google Plus and the bar on Google Plus is red, so now your notification bar will change its color to red. Or if you're in another app that, let's say, has a blue header, then it'll now change the notification drawer to blue, and so on and so forth. So a little bit more seamless. So rather than having different colors all over the place, it makes your screen all more matching and more dynamic in that sense. And there's also seamless transitions now between the OS and apps. It's all at 60 frames per second, so you get a very fast and fluid change. Animations also happen super, super quick. And that is actually partially related to the next part of the part of I/O, which was performance. They're now switching from Dalvik to ART. This is now going to be the official runtime of Android. So it's a mix of ADT, JIT, and interpreted. Basically, it's kind of like it's a on-the-fly kind of back-end change now. So rather than, so let's say you have an older app installed, then it'll still run because if it uses Dalvik and hasn't been updated and you still want to use it. But if you have a new app that you supports ART or ADT or whatever, it'll all work seamlessly. So it's better on the fly. Every apps load quicker, fewer system resources are used, and you don't have to worry about whether or not an app is compatible. It'll just work. It's also more, or because of this, it also reduced pauses and no stutters. So if you notice that on your device, because let's say you've been using a few apps and switching between a lot of apps at the same time, and now your system is slow, so there's a few pauses between loading apps, then this basically solves that and doesn't allow that to happen anymore. And then no stutters, so if you see a slow app load, then that it should basically be very, very seamless. So it might slow down a little bit, but it'll look very seamless. ART will also allow Android to be very much more memory efficient, so basically this shit works more on the back end, that less fewer resources are used, and this puts less load on your system, so it works better on lower end systems. And ART, the final benefit of ART is that it now allows for Android to be 64-bit compatible, so this will basically allow for higher, even more higher-end devices, so faster processing speeds, more RAM, more graphics processing, and all of that good stuff. At Google I.O., they also announced Project Volta. So what this does is it has two features to it, or two main features. The first is Job Scheduler. So this basically allows you to limit what apps can do at different battery levels. So let's say you're at full charge, so you don't really care how, what apps are doing, you use your device normally, but let's say you're running low on battery, so you've gotten down to 30%, 25%, 5%, then you can start killing apps and limiting what they can do. So if you want to limit GPS access, or you don't want it to sync, you can start controlling how it works there. But then there's also Battery Saver, which reduces system resources to extend battery life. So it's kind of like slowing down your device itself. So rather than working at quad core or dual core, it works at single core, or uses less RAM. So it goes into a kind of low power state to extend your battery life. I believe in the presentation they said that this will help your device last up to 90 minutes longer. So it should give you that extra time you need to, let's say, get home or get to a charger, or in general allow you to continue to, let's say, receive calls and make phone or send texts, so you are not out of touch. Next up, we got another announcement towards Android Wear. So the overview here is that it now supports square and circle screens, so it doesn't matter, as long as you have one of these two shapes of your watch, Android Wear supports it. Basically, you can now long press to see different covers, so you can get weather information, notifications, emails, texts, anything you get a notification for. You'll be able to swipe vertically to switch between your different covers. And if you want to get rid of a notification, you can swipe right. That way, if it's not important or you don't need to see it anymore, then you can get rid of it. And you can also swipe left to see contextual information. So let's say you're looking at your weather and you want to get more information. By swiping right, you'll get more detailed information. And then also, let's say you're walking into a meeting and you forgot to take your phone out of your pocket and you want to be really discreet about it, you can swipe down to turn on Do Not Disturb, so it puts your phone in kind of like a silent vibrate mode, so you don't get any noises from your notifications and you can continue on with your meeting. We also got another announcement for Android Auto. What this does is basically provides a streamlined UI for Android in the automobile. They made the announcement that Android is going to be compatible with several different car manufacturers, so within the next year or two we'll start seeing those roll out. So basically you just plug your Android device into your car and you'll get a more streamlined UI. It's kind of like a big screen version of Google Now, so you'll get your notifications, you want to launch maps, it's easy to use, you get a streamlined UI for things like music, so it's all very minimalist and very easy to use. It's all voice enabled, so you can just say okay Google, do your search, get directions, send text messages, all of that good stuff. So nothing special as far as the UI goes, but it is very important in that we can now start getting Android in the car. And then we got news about Android TV. So basically it's that full Android television set as an overlay, and then you plug in your different boxes here to get this in, get your to get your content that way. So if you do have a satellite or cable connection, then you can do that as well, and then you can use your Android device as a remote control. So there is an app set up, so it's basically a minimalist remote control for search and navigation, changing the channel, adjusting the volume, and all of that good stuff. And you can also control from your Android wearable. So if you have a watch, then you can install the app and do controls that way as well. They also announced Google Cast, which is the ability to send Google Play content straight to your TV. So it's kind of like having Chromecast built right into the TV. So basically nothing special about this here. So if you use Chromecast, then you know that you can send anything on your Android device to your Chromecast. But the thing that they've added is now the ability to cast a Chromecast without sharing your Wi-Fi connection. So let's say one of your friends comes over and you don't want to give them your Wi-Fi password. Well, it kind of does like a limited guest UI or access, so they can stream content to that device, but you don't have to give them your Wi-Fi password. It does allow, it does give limited access, so you have to be in the vicinity to use it. So if you're outside of a certain range, you are not able to access it, so no one can hijack it, so they have those measures set into place. They also announced that you can now add more photos to your Chromecast gallery, so it can be your own pictures or various other pictures, whatever you may need. And the final thing is that you can now marry your Android device itself to a Chromecast. So let's say you want to show someone how to do something, or you want to show off a new app on your TV, then you can now do that as well. So it's pretty nifty. It looks like it was pretty snappy, so we'll see how it works in practice. And then we got a little bit of news for our Chromebooks. So you can now unlock your Chromebook when your Android phone is nearby. So you're basically using your Android phone as an authenticator. So that's pretty nifty. And then you have the same notification show up on your Chromebook as your Android device. So basically, if you have your both devices nearby and signed into the same account, then you'll be able to share or see the same notifications, be it emails, weather, text messages, all of that stuff. And your Android apps now have the ability to run in your Chromebook, kind of like Wine for Linux. So basically it's a full emulator for Android apps. So you can now, if you need to see it on a slightly bigger screen, I guess 11 inches or 14 inches, so then you can do that as well. So it's pretty nifty. Well, I actually can't wait to test out that feature. I'm thinking about picking up a Chromebook as my next laptop, so we'll see how well that works. And then a couple of minor announcements after that, and we're pretty much done. So we now have Android for Work, which provides native office editing. So if someone sends you a Word document, you don't have to convert it before you edit it. You can directly edit it. But if you want some of the advanced collaborative tools that Google Drive provides, you do have to convert it from there. And then they did announce that at the moment, you can now have unlimited storage in Google Drive for $10 a month per user. So pretty nifty, low cost there. So if you don't want to if you don't have a solution right now and you have a low budget, then this may be the way to go for you. And finally, we had more news on Google Fit. So it now has the ability to aggregate data from apps and using various APIs. So basically whatever wearable you have, be it a Nike Fuel Band or Fitbit or whatever, as long, there's new APIs for them to tie in directly to Android, so it'll all aggregate for you. And it's, like I said, it's compatible with fitness trackers and I guess other wearables, so it's all enabled in Google. And I didn't hear too much as far as general tracking, as far as like walking and running on the device itself, but I'm sure there's going to be more tracking or more detailed information coming out soon. But that is all for Google I/O. I know there's a lot of information, but a lot of cool things coming, and it's all under the general announcement that everything's going to look the same on all devices. So be it a Chromebook, a tablet, an Android phone, or an Android tablet as well, I should clarify. But it's all going to look the same. They have guidelines, or also Android Wear. So they have guidelines set up for all devices, so everything looks the same on all devices, and you're following good practices and making it look as native as possible. But that is all for this particular episode, so with that, I'll jump right into the credits. ¶¶ So that is all for this particular episode of the Android Realm Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all of my latest updates and interact with me there as well. And of course, you can get this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.com. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for... All right, and before I close it out, the second test release for the Android recap, the Android Digest that I announced last week, will be released. I've already submitted it to the Kindle ebook store, so you should see it sometime today. I'll have it posted to my Twitter account at PatelN01, so you can see it there. And shortly after, I should have it added to my Amazon author profile as well. So that link is in the show notes. So definitely look out for that. I'm actually considering continuing to do it. I got some good feedback for it. So I'm actually going to be working on a proper name for it, and we'll go from there. This will all be starting next week at the earliest, so look out for that. I'll have more information on the next episode. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.